You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, BC. This radio is diverse, independent, and always yours. Check us out at cjsf.ca or search CJSF 90.1 FM on SoundCloud.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Culture and every generation has its ideas of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Our guests today are Juna Arda and John Gray Wright. A conscious man is not a superior man. He is not more evolved or more accomplished. He certainly is not richer or more virile or more powerful. He does not have bigger muscles or a hairier chest or a faster car. A conscious man, in the way we use the term, simply means a man who has put some attention and therefore some choice into the expression of his masculinity. He is living his art rather than his automation. Today we'll be talking about what it takes to be a conscious man in 21st century culture with our guests, Arjuna Arda and John Gray. Arjuna Arda is a writer, public speaker, and founder of The Awakening Coaching. He's the author of many books, including The Translucent Revolution and Better Than Sex, The Ecstatic Art of Awakening Coaching. John Gray is a leading relationship expert and author of the groundbreaking book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. His unique focus is assisting men and women in understanding and respecting and appreciating their differences. And together, they are the co-authors of the book, Conscious Men. Join us for the next hour as we explore the dramatic reinvention of masculinity in today's culture with our guests, Arjuna Arda and John Gray. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Arjuna, John, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you both here. So I would really like to jump right in and talk about, you know, in these days, many people are saying, oh, there's no difference between the genders, that we're all really the same. And John, I would like for you to start off. What is your view and experience of that?
Well, I grew up in the 60s, so I wore pink shirts, grew my hair out, demonstrated for peace. And we might look at that as a man moving more to his more sensitive feeling, feminine side, expressing all of who I am. And this is what's happened in our generation and generations next to that, is we no longer want to be limited to old-fashioned roles. We want to express all of we are, which could be, as the Asians will say, yin and yang, masculine and feminine. We want to be a whole person. So the man today wants to express all of who he is. And our risk as conscious men is to move too far to the feminine and not come back to the masculine so that we're a balance of both. The flip side of this, many women experience, which is they move too far to their masculine and it's hard to balance the masculine with their feminine. So what we've done is help men to consciously choose actions which will strengthen their masculinity to support them in this open-heartedness that they have as well.
So are you saying, though, there is a difference between men and women?
Oh, thank you for reminding me. That was a question. That was a question. Huge difference. See, on a psychological level, you know, my daughter, one of my daughters, for example, was a master of calculus, okay? So these old-fashioned ideas that women can't do math or men can't parent, that's all silliness, okay, based upon roles that men were following, women were following. We can do everything the other sex can do. But what's different is biologically, women have different needs and men have different needs based upon our different hormonal systems. So on a biological level, we are very different. And if we want to grow in intimacy, if we want to be successful in our lives, we need to respect what behaviors, what interactions, what styles of communication, what attitudes and insights will help men stay on their masculine side as they open their heart, and what behaviors and interactions and ways of communicating will help women stay on their feminine side while they're also on their masculine side. And so what we see is in cultures where there's a lot of gender equality, they have gender blindness. The old notion is if we're going to be equal, men and women, then we have to pretend that we're the same. And we're not the same. It's so obvious. It's like the emperor has no clothes. It's men and women, biologically, our needs are so different. If we don't respect that, we end up experiencing greater stress in our lives and greater disharmony in our relationships. So much that so many people don't even want to get married anymore. Marriage is like going out of date because couples get together. Men don't want to make a commitment. Women often don't want to stay with a guy because they lose their interest. They lose their passion. They start out with it and they lose it because they're not able to respect and honor those different needs that men have and women have.
I think that you've pointed out in the book, both of you, Arjuna and John, have pointed out in the book that if a woman finds this man who's gentle and peaceful and so forth and really expresses his feminine side, that after a while, she may get bored with that. Does that make sense? Arjuna, do you have any comment on that?
Absolutely. You know, it's a strange irony that many women say they want their man to talk about his feelings, you know, share your feelings, tell me what's going on. And men don't naturally want to do that. It's not really the first impulse of the masculine. The masculine is much more action oriented, you know. But so when a man does finally share his feelings, women frequently get bored. And now she's got a best friend. She's really got a best girlfriend, but there's no longer that polarity. I was actually, my wife is away in Greece at the moment, and we talked for about 90 minutes this morning. It was kind of the treat of the week. And I can feel with her when, you know, she wants me to tell her what's relevant. But if I go too much into indulging feelings, I can feel that the attraction, the polarity melts and then everybody loses. So it is actually really important for a man to primarily discover the incredible beauty of listening, the power of deep listening. Listening is not just a passive thing. It's an active gift. It's a way of showing up to be present, particularly for a woman, where the listening, it's not just about giving her space to express. The listening becomes a gift of presence, which is one of the greatest gifts that a man can bring.
Well, I want to go more deeply into listening, but before I do that, you mentioned something about polarization. And I know that you mentioned this in the book. What do you mean by the polarization between men and women? John?
Well, if we think of, when we talk about polarization and we'd also talk about attraction, we also talk about chemistry, it's kind of a great metaphor for it is a magnet. If you have a positive pole and a negative pole, they contract. I mean, they attract each other. And if you have two positive poles trying to get closer, they will repel. So if you have two positive poles, you'll have a nice distance. But if you have opposite poles, complementary, like puzzle pieces fitting together, then you have a strong attraction. So if you've got a woman who is more on her masculine side and a guy who's more on his masculine side, there's not going to be that much attraction. You know, a lot of women who are more on their masculine side, that means they're more independent, they're more work-oriented, they make a lot of money, they make a lot of sacrifices to make money, they're very busy. They're not really into cooking and cleaning. they're not into depending on a guy so much. They're going to be more on their masculine side. They're making masculine hormones. And these women will often say, you know, why is it that all the men are intimidated by me? And I go, you know, some men are, but a lot of men are just not interested. And the reason they're not interested is because there's nothing for him to do for you. Okay, it's like, where's my job? You know, where can I be a hero? How am I needed in this relationship? Because part of what is masculine inside of all of us is the need to make a difference, the need to accomplish, to achieve, to make your mark. That is a testosterone-stimulating activity. And one of the biological differences between men and women is that your average man, healthy man, compared to your average healthy woman, is he's going to have 10 to 30 times more testosterone. And when his testosterone isn't supported by activities that generate testosterone, then his testosterone levels drop. And every man who has a heart attack has low testosterone. Every man who's depressed has low testosterone. Every man who has high stress levels has low testosterone. So testosterone is clearly the hormone necessary for men to lower their stress. And what's happening is the epidemic in America is men connect more with their feeling side, loving side, connected side, parenting side. This is all good stuff. You know, I have compassion. I want to give to people. I'm generous. These are the other side of this side. Those are not stimulating testosterone. They make estrogen.
So if they're existing on their own without this other, like, task orientation, then it's not so healthy for men. Are you saying that men are task-oriented?
When we say men are task-oriented, the problem with saying that is that so many women are going, but I'm task-oriented.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that when men are task-oriented, they will feel really good when they get home. And when women are really task-oriented, they often have a difficulty in shifting to relaxation. You know, one of the popular ideas of men are from Mars was men have a cave. We have like a mechanism that says, okay, I'm task-oriented all day, and now the sun has set, I'm going to forget all my problems. So our stress goes down. And there's lots of studies showing that when men are at a job, same kind of job as a woman, they'll have almost the same stress levels at work. But when he comes home, it drops, and hers continue on. She doesn't have like a turn-off valve when her testosterone is up. So part of what we've done in our book is helping women to understand men so they don't resent men when men take that time for themselves to relax and to realize, instead of resenting it, going, that's for me. I need to learn to do that. But the way a woman can do that is different. You can't just simply say, I'm going to relax and forget all my problems. Men can do that to a great extent. Women, which is kind of paradoxical, by talking about their problems and their feelings about their problems, it actually brings them back to the feminine side. Estrogen increases the hormone oxytocin and estrogen, and that helps to help her relax. So we have different ways of recovering from the stresses of our day. And without that insight, it's very hard for men and women to give the support their partner needs. She's wanting him to talk about his feelings, and he's saying, oh, she's upset. I'll just give her some space.
I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Arjuna Arda and John Gray. They are the co-authors of Conscious Men. And if you want to know more about their work, Conscious Men, there is a website that you can go to. It's called consciousmen.com. And on this, there's a free 5-day mini course. So you might check that out, consciousmen.com. Or you can also go to marsvenus.com for more information on the work of John Gray. And you can also get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Arjuna Arda and John Gray, and we're talking about Conscious Men, and that's the name of the book that they have co-written. And I'd like to go back to polarization for a moment. And Arjuna, you had something to add to that idea of polarization between the genders.
Right. You know, the last, in various stages, and it's gone in different waves, we've seen the breakdown of unnecessary stereotyping between men and women, right? So if we go back even 50 years, men went to war, they went to do jobs they didn't really enjoy, they didn't feel their feelings much, they were hard, enduring, and then they eventually retire at 65 and soon after die of a heart attack. You know, that was the world of our fathers and grandfathers, you see? And then women, of course, you know, they stayed home, looked after children, cooked food, and both genders felt imprisoned by these stereotypal roles. So what we've seen in the last decades, and it's a positive thing, it's a great thing, we've seen the emancipation of both genders, that we can both explore whatever we want. There's no rules. Anybody can do what they want, and that's a good thing. Let's face it, for a woman to have the opportunity to be a judge, which she couldn't before, or a doctor or a lawyer, and for a man to have the freedom to feel his feelings and look after children, that's all good. Let people do what they enjoy. No one can really argue very convincing that people shouldn't have the opportunity to fully enjoy life in whatever way they want. But this is where the word conscious masculinity becomes relevant, and feminine, conscious femininity. Because the fact that we have freedom to do whatever we want now means we can choose what's actually the best dynamic, what's the best way for us to align ourselves. Now, a good example of this would be at home. We've got a big garden. We've got like a 1-acre garden in the middle of town. It's a beautiful garden, and it's, you know, got lots of different plants. And at some point, I discovered that I looked at what the gardener was doing and I realized I could do that. I looked at everything the gardener was doing and I thought, there's nothing this gardener is doing that I couldn't do just as well. So I suggested to my wife, let's fire the gardener. I can do it. And then she asked me a very good question. She said, well, it's true, Arjuna, you could do all this, but is it a good idea? Is that the best use of your time? You see, aren't there other things that you do better, you see? And then I realized just because I can do, I also love fixing the house. I love painting and I do woodwork. I just built a loft, a beautiful loft with all oak fixtures and everything. And just because I can do that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best use of my time. So conscious anything means that you're not just doing you're not just doing something because you are able to do it. You're channeling your energy into the best use of your time and energy. Now, when it comes to men and women, yes, I can go into my feelings and follow my feelings. Yes, I can focus on very domestic things. There's lots of things I can do. And my wife is a fully liberated woman. She makes much more money than I do. She travels all over the world. She's a Viking woman. She's from Norway, you know? So everybody can do what they want, but we've discovered that to have the most fun, to have the most sexual attraction, to have a marriage that's really spectacular, it's actually a good idea, consciously, for me to bring a little more of the gifts of the masculine into the marriage and for her to consciously bring the gifts of the feminine. Now, that requires her as a woman to consciously, deliberately practice yielding, surrender, loving, because she realizes if she brings those gifts deliberately, consciously, not because she has to, not because of some stereotyping or rules, but because she enjoys that more. If she lets me be more in my penetrating, goal-oriented, action-oriented, masculine qualities, she goes more into these feminine qualities as a choice, not as an obligation, but as a choice, we have more fun.
But what if she is better at some task than you are?
There's no rules. We can play that way. We've just discovered that to have good sex, to have good attraction, to have good fun, to have a really enjoyable marriage, it's important to recognize that there is this thing called masculine energy. There is this thing called feminine energy. And because of the biology in the marriage, if I lean more into the masculine consciously,
she leans more into the feminine consciously, then we actually have a better time.
So this is like, I can feel people saying, wait a minute. Isn't this going backwards? Isn't this taking us back to the 1950s, 1960s, where we did have these stereotypes?
Let me give you an example
of that. Okay, excellent, John.
So in order to maintain polarity, okay, which is he's the guy, she's the woman, you can simply do this. You can say, I can go to my wife and I say, honey, what are some things you'd like to do next weekend? Let's explore some of those things. Not what I want. It's what she wants. That's the female polarity. She gets to have what she wants. Okay, first, so I'm letting her be feminine. Like, what would you like? What else would you like? What would you like? And then I say, okay. And what she then says, being feminine, is you decide. Now, she's already given me three things. It would all work for her. Okay, and then she says to me, you decide, and I decide. And then you make the reservations, you deliver. And in that whole process of my doing that, she gets to feel she's getting what she needs, and I get to feel I'm getting what I need, because when I take her on that date or I do that very thing for her, I'm going to be confident the whole time that I'm going to give her what she needs. And she's confident the whole time that he's giving me what I need. And that's polarity.
And kind of taking over, really making it happen,
too. I'm making it happen.
Yeah.
But men will often say, I don't know what she wants. And quite often, women will say, you know, we never do anything fun anymore. He says, what would you like to do? And she'll say, I don't know. Okay? So the romance is a two-way street.
Right.
Her main job is to say, what's going to make her happy? Not even me. See, this is the great thing about men, is I'm flying to China in a few days. Now, it's a long trip. It's an arduous thing. I'll be gone 11 days. But I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do it because I get paid well and I'm making a real difference in the world. They love me there. So I do that. So because of the outcome, I can do something that I don't enjoy doing, but I will enjoy it because it has a mission. It has a purpose. There's something there. And the greatest mission purpose a man can have in a marriage is, if this is going to make you happy, don't worry about what I want. What I want more than anything I could want on this particular Saturday we're going to have a date is to do something that will make you happy. So her job is to be happy. That's a great job for somebody. My job is not to be happy. My job is to do what it takes to make her happy. Now, who has a problem with that?
Oh, boy. I mean,
it's a win-win.
Yeah, win-win.
Now, she can go to her job where she's in charge of the accounting and the business, and she's in her male side. Nobody's telling her not to do it. And that's what Arjuna is saying, is we have no choice to express all parts of us. But in a marriage, if we want to create he was talking about a great sex life and passion and attraction. That's part of it. But the other part of it is just to be in a relationship where you're really happy. Okay, so many people today are stressed out.
Yes.
They're not happy. And so many people aren't even getting married because they can't keep the interest there. They're not happy with each other. And some people have addictions and drug problems because they're not happy in their relationship. This is a worldwide crisis in the Western world as soon as women started going onto their male side. You see, you can go to Denmark. The big study was, Denmark is now the happiest country in the world. Yet I explored all the government statistics. I expected it to be this way because I teach there as well. And they have the highest rate of alcoholism in Europe. They have the highest rate of antidepressants in Europe. They have the highest rate of divorce in Europe. They have the highest rate of single people in divorce in Europe. And compared to America, about the same. And they also have the highest rate of single mothers raising children without fathers. And yet they're considered the happiest country in the world? Nonsense. No way. But this is the blindness we have today. As people are taking antidepressants and committing suicide, they were happy. It's not happening. We're stressed. Our stress levels are higher. And part of why our stress levels are higher is that we're not finding the balance. So all we're talking about, Arjuna, is for men to consciously come back to their masculine, for women to consciously come back to their feminine, just for a date, just for their interactions when they're wanting to find their balance.
I want to go back for a moment. And before I do that, I'm Arjuna.
Well, I wanted just to revisit something you talked about. Isn't this a step backwards?
Yes.
Because we do talk about this a lot in the book, is to understand the evolution of both masculinity and femininity historically. It's very, very easy to overlook history, you know? And that one example we give in the book is the riots that happened in Ferguson, Missouri, a few years ago. And you could look at that. If you didn't understand the history, you could look at a white police officer shooting an unarmed black teenager and go, well, that's just these two people. No, that that incident sparked riots, not because of one incident, but because of a history of racial profiling that goes all the way back to slavery. And if you understand the history, you understand the significance of the event. Now, in the same way, you see, if we want to talk about history, we can see, we look at it going backwards, but that we need to understand the historical development, that go back 50 years or go back to the 1950s or mid through to the mid-60s, men had a stereotypical role that was a prison to them, right?
And most of them took on the work of their fathers,
right,
so
exactly,
to speak.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Women had a stereotypical role, which was equally a prison, and everyone understands the imprisonment of a woman staying home and just, you know, doing the laundry and the dishes and so on.
A la Stepford Wives, who all took antidepressants.
One of the scariest movies ever, I think.
So then we can understand historically there was a revolution against that, a good revolution at the end of the 60s into the 70s, where women said, hey, you know, we can do all this stuff. We can be judges and lawyers and politicians just as well as any man. And it's true. Women can do all those things as well as a man can and deserve to be paid equal. No one's going to argue with that. At least I wouldn't argue with it anyway. Men realize we also have feelings. We also want to connect with our children. Hey, we don't want to be so that was all good historical development. However, what tends to happen with human beings is they set up a new set of rules. And now the new set of rules becomes a man has to, you know, equally look after the children and equally do all the stuff. And a woman has to be career oriented. And so that became now. And this is the thing about political correctness, you know, that now there's this set of rules, which is the opposite of the original rules.
So, a new cell that we're in, you know, a new prison.
The pendulum swings.
Right. Now, then there was actually a third development, which you can see emerging, which is imitated masculinity. And I'm going to just speak about masculinity now because that's what our book's about. Imitated masculinity was a set of books that came out in the last decades telling a man how to be. Okay, a man is like this, and I'm not going to mention which books, but there are certain books which provide guidelines for this is what a man really is like. So what we are talking about is, you could say, a fourth step, which is not going backwards. It's an evolution out of all of that, which is actually saying, instead of living your masculinity as automation, live it as art. Art, you see, that's the definition of art. Art is taking something, any form of art, is taking something which might otherwise happen automatically and deliberately delivering as an art form. So if you think of a great movie, you know, there are wonderful films like, let's say, the film about John Nash, A Beautiful Mind. The subject matter of the film was about the anguish of mental illness, but because it was presented as art by great actors and produced in a beautiful way, it became a beautiful thing to experience. There's movies about violence, there's movies about all kinds of things that are horrible in real life, but when they're re-delivered as art, the art makes it beautiful. When a man takes his masculinity and instead of living in stereotypical, you know, gender imprisonment or a reaction to it, he sees the whole thing, he understands his biology, he understands the history, he understands his woman's biology, and out of all that, he delivers an art form which is going to be far greater than following any set of rules.
So what you're saying is that he is coming out of this automation, and now he's consciously living into it as an art form.
Making choices, yeah.
For me, it's like my life is conscious. I choose how to express one part of me or the other part of me.
I'm here with John Gray and Arjuna Arda. They are the co-authors of Conscious Men. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our